Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and I am pumped to talk about money. I don't know about that. Sometimes money, I don't like talking about money. But hey, cash is king. And when I find tools to help you grow your business, we want to talk about that. Because this is what this is for you contractors and affiliates to go out and grow your business. So what is the main message that we're going to convey today on the podcast with Chris Doyle, who is the founder and CEO of a killer platform called Build that we're going to talk about? Sell more materials to more contractors with less risk. I like the sounds of that. We're going to go in, we're going to talk about how to acknowledge that subcontractors are both large and small, run into the same cash flow challenges. To start a project, subs needs material, and even the best supplier terms, say 30, 60 days, they don't cover the amount of time the sub goes into getting paid, sometimes 90 plus, right? That means subs are floating the cost of material and labor for their GC, for property owners, and that puts a huge cash flow strain on you, Tribe. And that's what we need to talk through today. When cash flow isn't strong, it's challenging to take on new or larger projects that may limit how aggressive you are with bidding. Subcontractors deserve more and need partners who will stand by them, thick and thin. Additionally, construction businesses do not have much support from traditional banks or lenders, making it hard for you to obtain the necessary financing to grow your business. So how is this going to benefit you? What Build eliminates the cash flow gap. And that gap that faces purchasing materials from suppliers on behalf of contractors and then exceeding the sub 120-day terms. They use what they call project-based financing. And I get to have the guy that put this all together come in and tell the story, Chris Doyle, and I'm going to ask him that question and talk through what offers the higher credit limits that traditional bank loans and our underwriting places high weight on quality of the project. So my perspective going into this, Tribe, is that we're going to rethink payment and financing terms between the contractors and the suppliers, and we're going to also talk through how to build more trust in the construction project lifecycle. We're all about breaking down those silos and for you contractors and affiliates to come together, build more trust, and bring in tools that can help you grow your business. So let's go in and get to know Chris Doyle of Build and talk about how we can sell more materials to more contractors with less risk. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Oh, favorite beverage, wine.
Wine. All right. That's a nice one. I may have some wine tonight. What favorite wine do you like, Chris?
I'll go Pinot. I'll definitely have a glass tonight.
There you go. I'll have a glass of Pinot for you tonight. You and I both will crack a bottle of Pinot. What's the favorite place you've traveled?
Rome. Love Rome.
Rome. Give us one story from Rome.
One story. First of all, let me tell you why I love it so much is that you walk around, you just see so much historical stuff. Stop, have a glass of wine, get up, walk around a little more, see some more fantastic stuff, have a glass of wine, you know, rinse and repeat.
I think there's a theme here.
There we go. Leading to number three.
And number three, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're passionately breaking down that we call the art of construction?
Yeah, you know, I have a wake surf boat. So really love wake surfing. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Cool stuff. Well, I'm so stoked. I love it when we get to have leaders that come and founded really cool companies. So tell us your story. What led you to becoming the president and CEO of Build, Chris?
Yeah. So I, like a lot of people, worked my way kind of through high school and college, and just randomly my job was framing houses. It was a great gig. I got a tan, able to build a little muscle because you're doing, I mean, this isn't that glamorous. You're basically carrying 2x12s from the front of where they drop the lumber to the where they needed the house. And you got paid cash every week. So, you know, it was a great, you know, high school and college job, but that's how I got started. And then, you know, after college, I was in this, like, you know, what am I going to do? I was a political science major, so I didn't exactly have things mapped out, and had randomly applied for a residential construction company, a local builder in Houston, and got the job as a project manager. And, you know, had already had that background in construction. So, you know, did that, learned just how to manage vendors, how to communicate, you know, suppliers, vendors, homeowners.
No doubt. Just,
you know, that's a big spectrum of, you know, communication styles. And not very common, but had made the jump from after about 5 years, had made the jump from residential to commercial construction, and worked for a really fantastic company out of Dallas, Southwest Construction Services, that did commercial waterproofing and concrete repair. And so did that for another 5 years or so. And was, you know, at the end of all that, really had the full spectrum of construction and understanding. And then, you know, from there had gotten a little bit more involved in the finance side of the business, and especially in renewable energy, as like things like solar had taken off. The, you know, Wall Street, large banks need to understand the asset a little bit more. So, you know, with a finance background, I had gone to business school by this point. So finance background and construction isn't all that common. So I'd really been thrown in the mix of like, how do you better define these assets so that banks can understand them, not just from a cash flow standpoint, but like the actual technical piece of them. You know, from there had done some work with a consumer finance company, and it just kind of clicked at that point. You know, having really spent some time in the lending business, like there's a big opportunity here in construction, because specifically in commercial, because it's a pretty big problem that subcontractors and suppliers have to deal with, which, you know, we'll get into here.
Awesome. So you carried the two buys, and then you went to work as a project manager, and then got the cash is king kind of figured out from the financing side, and worked in that to where you're really understanding the issues of the construction. So I want to start off by just the big thing. Whenever we bring a platform in, I want to always understand, like, what is the main problem that BILD, B-I-L-L-D, is trying to solve?
Yeah, no, and it's great with your audience, because they'll understand this. I don't really have to describe much of it. You purchase material, you install it, you submit your payout, and you wait. You know, it's like, what, you know, you have to pay that labor, you have to pay for those materials, but the gap between payout and actually getting paid, you know, could be 30, 60, 90 days down the road. And, you know, what do you have to keep doing? You have to keep working, right? You can't just stop on a project. And so what we're really trying to solve is the supply chain, the inefficiencies of, you know, getting paid on commercial construction project.
I love that. I am so excited for this journey. I mean, I own a window and door company in Colorado, and talk about what keeps you up at night is, should I even take this job over a thing is that, can I pay for it? Because cash is king, right? And you have to manage those things. So let's get into it and talk through, like, what is your financing system? And when setting up your financing options, do you work with only the contractor, the suppliers, or both? Let's talk through how your financing system works. Because to set the stage, that's what BILD is, right? You're supplying financing on materials, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's pretty simple. So as a contractor, you get called a $100,000 project on a local, you know, middle school, let's say it's being built. And generally that's going to be about $30,000 to $40,000 worth of material that you have to purchase over, you know, 1 to 2 months of your installation process. So you need that the material. You essentially purchase through us. So we work with every supplier, pretty much every supplier in the country. We pay the supplier up front, and then we provide the subcontractor 120 days to repay us. And in the interim, we essentially charge interest during that time. But with oftentimes you're getting a cash discount. Keep in mind, because we are paying up front for your supplier, which gets passed on to our customer. And so, you know, what you're really getting there is that extra flexibility. If you get paid in 30 days, that's great. You probably save money actually based on the cash discount. But if you aren't paid, right, you have that flexibility of carrying, which even suppliers don't really give you that flexibility. What ends up happening is when you max out, right, what do? You're forced into calling another supplier. So we do work with, we really do the whole ecosystem, honestly, but predominantly subcontractors and general contractors. But because we're paying the suppliers, you know, they're a big part of this message too, because this actually solves a lot of their problems, right? Now they're providing value to their customers through logistics and product support, relationships, of course, and not being the collection guy.
Love that.
It's really dysfunctional right there, right? So
thirty day terms.
The supplier is not set up for success. You know their customer is not going to get paid in 30 days, so you show up at their doorstep, you know, with a stack of bills and saying, "Hey, you know, you're 15 days past due. You know, well, I haven't been paid. What do you expect?" So it really puts a supplier in a tough position, to, you know, that's at this subcontractor's expense.
Yeah, and I'm excited a little bit later, let's talk about how that burdens the trust. But digging deeper into your system, so on your website, you talk about project-based contractor financing. Can you explain, like, really what this is and what the benefits of it are?
Yeah, so it's probably good to talk about a bigger problem, which is the contractors normally don't have access to many credit options, and what they normally will use is supplier terms, which is a credit option. And so if they're only using that, or maybe a company credit card, what they're not doing is building credit for their business, building a credit profile and credit history. So to go out and get the bigger, like call it a bank line of credit, they're so thin that banks won't do it, right? So what we do, and so I say bank, any lender won't do it. So we look at it differently. We see the same thing. We see the same thin profiles that banks will, but we have a deeper understanding. We are a construction company, right? So we're going, what are you buying? Where is that material going to get installed? And by doing that, what we're able to do is underwrite that instead of the thin contractor file. Oh, by the way, we do report to the bureaus as well. So all that credit history gets added to their business credit report. So now that we are actually enabling them down the road to go out and have a lot more of a diverse kind of credit options, whether it be a bank line, small business lending, SBA type stuff, a credit card that has a much higher credit limit, right? We're able to enable that as they build more and more credit. But that project-based underwriting is like, what are you building, right? Is it the middle school? Well, guess what? Everyone in construction knows, like, middle schools, government projects, you know, maybe sometimes they're slow in payment, but they're about as safe as it gets. In fact, that's why a lot of people flock to those projects, because they say, you know, I'm just not going to do private work anymore. The government funded projects, we just know, are a lot more secure. So we take a different look at that. Now, if you go say, we're building a, you know, new commercial office space in the most vacant town in the USA, right? So that's where the bad side of, we might say, well, I don't know if that's the best, you know, project. So we might, you know, look at that a little bit differently.
I love that. So if I'm understanding it right, it's you guys know the art of construction and where the real risk versus a line of credit or a blanket kind of thing, to where they're all looked at the same way, to say, hey, this is a really good project, but I can't take it on because I'm stuck. That's where Build can come in and help out. So how does your team work with contractors to figure out what financing options are best for them? Now that I understand it, Chris, I'm stoked. I'm a contractor. I'm interested. How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we have this one product, which is purchasing the materials. Now, what other options do you have? That's where it becomes, there's really just not a lot. And so if like, we can kind of walk through the stack, credit cards, well, guess what? You know, you might be a $5 million business, go apply for a credit card. You might get a 25K, maybe a 50K limit. I mean, even us, right? We're a fairly well-funded startup. Like, we don't even have over, I think, maybe $100,000 credit line. Like, that's really tough. That doesn't even like scratch the surface in what you need to purchase material on. Supplier terms are great if you're able to get them. If you're a new business, it can be tough. But if you're on a regular flow and then you get that extra project, right, the timing of that next extra project shows up, it's more than what your supplier would otherwise give you. So then you're shopping around with other suppliers, right? So then that becomes an issue. A lot for the supplier too, because then you had a loyal customer that just went to someone else for nothing other than credit terms, right? And your other options are a bank, right? And a bank, we already talked a little bit about the thin credit history, but most banks, in fact, all banks are probably going to require you to sign provide a blanket lien on your business, which means like they have first lien in the case that you don't repay, they can foreclose on your business. Now that's what business ownership is, right? Getting those blanket liens, personal guarantees, like, that's not really the problem. The problem is once you've done that, other financing options are limited because the other lenders see the blanket lien and they're going, well, wait, I can't do that. And a lot of these lines of credit have even more covenants that say you basically can't go into debt for whatever reason without our permission, right? Because they're worried that in the event that the business goes out, that they wouldn't get satisfied first.
Yeah, great explanation of kind of the role between banks and construction historically. There's no doubt that you're spot on with that whole part of you get stuck, right? Because you have to have a place to do business. So you buy this or you need a truck and then you get stuck to where you're kind of your debt to income ratios get maxed out when now you actually that's the pay to play. Now you got to actually go buy a product to make money from that on the supply channel end of things. So is your goal to completely replace the role of banks in construction?
I think our goal is to ultimately drive down the cost of financing in construction, and to open up the floodgates. And that will be through banks, right? Ultimately. And once we're able to prove out more on what like project-based underwriting is, then we're able to show like, hey, this is not as risky as everyone thinks. And this is like the kind of the stereotypes that we try to break, is everyone from outside construction is like, oh, they think like very blue collar, very risky, like always living paycheck to paycheck. And yes, some of that stuff exists, but that exists in a lot of businesses. And you know what you're really, the risk is that a contractor doesn't get paid on a project. And that certainly happens. But when you look at your lending activities in that lens, it opens a lot up for the contractors, because I said it before, we probably wouldn't participate on that project that like is one of the more risky projects. But on safer projects, it opens up 3 or 4x of what the contractor would otherwise have access to. And once we can prove this out from like a performance standpoint, you'll see it. Other capital providers will go in and say, now that they've proven it out, like, we're going to do the same thing and underwrite in a similar way. Although we have a few patents that on our special sauce.
There you go. Yeah. Cause that's what I talk about. We learn by doing, right? And you grew up working construction and then saw this need. So we're super honored to have Art of Construction affiliated with Build, because it is a major issue, but we need influencers like you and your team that have lived it to go in and help understand the risk reward. And the part that I was so excited to really talk to you about, Chris, is that, you know, I own a window and door company. I have the same issues, and I'm listening to this like cash flow is tough, you know, and it's the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of construction. And at the end of the day, it's about trusted partnerships. So a lot of what you're doing seems to be about building trust between the contractors, subs, and suppliers, where this is a massive issue between the trust gets broke down because you get stuck and you don't know what to say, right? So can you talk a little bit about the importance of building trust for the future of the construction industry and maybe how do you see build as helping out build that trust?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's any industry that relies on relationships more than construction. You know, most of the time it's fairly regional, and I'm talking about commercial here, but you have a set number of general contractors in, let's say, Austin, Texas, Houston, Texas. And certainly you go travel for customers and do stuff outside of your local area or even state, but for the most part, it's the same players, right? And it, you know, if you're starting out or been in business a while, you plan on being in business for a while and you plan on interacting with the same players. So a lot of folks that join the build, if they don't have construction experience, we're like walking through it for the first time. Because there's this outside notion that maybe the general contractor is kind of like the boss on the project. It doesn't work that way. You can't be an asshole and work in construction. You won't last very long because you might win on your one little battle that you're dealing with, but guess what? It's going to come around. You're going to work with them again. Either it's that general contractor or that project manager goes to another general contractor or this supplier finds you some other way. Like, you really have to treat people right when you're in the same industry, dealing with the same people for so long. So that's where relationships are so key. And I don't mean relationships, and I'm putting like relationships and trust kind of hand here. You know, I don't mean the cliche, like taking someone to play golf or, you know, go out to lunch. I'm talking about the, hey, showing up when you said you were going to be there, you know, come in that extra week early because the superintendent needs you there quicker, right? Or they need you to double time it because they're behind the project. Building that kind of relationship really is where it's at. You know, our position in this and where we stand is really, how do we enable our customers to be reliable to their customer, which is the general contractor, right? So that's why we do things like if you submit a purchase request for us, it's getting funded that day, right? So when people say, hey, I need this material, you know, on average, our stuff doesn't even sit with us longer than 20 hours, meaning someone comes in this morning and says, I need something this afternoon. We're reviewing everything, sending out the funds that day. Like, banks can't touch that.
But yeah, that is gold. That's like, they can't just because of how they're set up, right? And I always talk about there's two things we don't have enough of, and it's time and money. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're helping solve the Art of Construction Tribe, that we get stuck. And if you're saying once you're set up with your platform, it's instantaneous, and as long as you're on the same page trusting each other, now you have that time where you can put the execution into getting the project done and keeping that trust and going above and beyond versus pulling your hair out trying to figure out how you're going to pay for it, right?
Yeah. How are you going to deliver on a project, right?
Yeah. So are there any notable customer stories or successes that you'd want to share with the tribe?
Yeah, I mean, we have a ton. It's our favorite. You know, I think we get a lot of this reaction, like, how did I not know about you guys earlier? Or you've allowed me to, you know, grow my business, you know, 2x of what I was otherwise able to do, because now this isn't really a barrier. It was really interesting. I was talking to one of our customers this morning. One of our first customers is a flooring contractor out of New Jersey. And he was just talking about how they're growing. They were at like 3 million last year. They'll be at 5 million this year. And I was trying to pump them up to get to 10. You know, he was thinking, you know, they get to like 7 or 8. Like, no, get to 10. And just like hearing that growth, and that's a pretty short span, you know, to what, triple in size practically. We get a lot of that message, and it's not even, we're not always what a contractor would use on every project. You know, sometimes projects just go as they would, you know, as scheduled and no issues, but being there and being that kind of reliable option for them when they need us and that like kind of quick turnaround, it is where we see we are enabling our customers the most, and they come back, oh God, thank you so much. We were able to get that thing knocked out.
What a great story of your customer, but what kind of growth have you seen internally, and what's the future hold for Build?
Yeah, we're growing pretty fast. You know, with COVID, we continue to grow, probably like 300% a year now. COVID hasn't really slowed down, so we're kind of wondering what would have happened if we didn't have to, and our customers ultimately didn't have to deal with that. But you know, growth has been great. I think what I think personally fear or am concerned about is my team able to connect with the customer the same way that like our early team has, right? Because as you grow, you're hiring more people. You're wanting to make sure they have that same connection, that same level of support. That's something that, you know, we're constantly thinking about as we expand rapidly. You know, the future is really like continuing to be there for a customer and listen to them about probably other things that they're going to need help with from a working capital. And those are the things that we're brainstorming now.
I appreciate you saying that, because as a leader, right, that you got, don't forget what got you there, right? And keep help building that up. So what we always ask is every time we get to get an influencer that's built a killer company like yours that we're honored to be affiliated with, what is your crystal ball for the future of technology and construction?
You know, it's interesting because there's two like factors at play. There's the like early adopters, like really cool shit happening in construction, like really cool stuff. You know, the like virtual walk around your job site stuff that allows you to see every inch of your job site under construction, right? But then there's the other spectrum, which is the slow adopters. That what I think is interesting is seeing that group, the folks like the Procores of the world, penetrating that group, right? And really lifting the slow movers to say, well, it's not that way anymore. Construction, I don't know that we're going to call it high tech, but it really is technology driven. And so you're seeing some of the very cool stuff you see on the early adopter side. But I think what I'm more excited to see is the like slower adoption folks are, you know, they're carrying iPads around at the job site. They're using systems like Procore for project management and billing and specification, stuff like that. I think everyone's, you know, right now doing digital takeoffs and all that kind of stuff, but that back group is probably the most exciting. It's the early adopters that have paved the way for them.
Well said. I couldn't agree more. And it's the fact that the early adopters, thank you all for what you've done. But you have to go to the people that are running the jobs. A lot of times are not blazing trails with technology, but you were seeing that really shift. And, you know, they're not just jumping in because they've been around for a while, right? And now we're seeing that really convergence that when you see those cool tools, they're things that can really not just be video games. It can be real stuff to help you with your business, which is pretty exciting stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave for contractors and affiliates to think about it and go out and crush it to grow their business, Chris, of all your, from hauling lumber on the job site to going to get your business degree to now running this killer cool company that we're also tell the story. What's that one thing you want to leave everybody thinking about to go out there and crush it?
Yeah. You know, I think that having been in construction for a while, it can be a grind. You know, and there can be like bad news days and weeks and months. And from a business owner standpoint, I think that one thing is to just, you know, not lose that fire, if not like gain even more fire for your business and the growth. And it can be tough if you're just in the mundane, like day in, day out. There never seems to be a win, right, in construction sometimes, as a sub in particular. Right. You're balancing projects. You're going the extra mile for your customer. You know, it's like it does seem like you're always behind the eight ball, and it can be a little deflating. When we talk to our customers, there really are two kinds. They're the kinds I mentioned today, the flooring contractor out of New Jersey. It was just like it fired me up talking to him because he still had that fire. I'm going to grow. I'm going to get to that 10 million. Then we have other customers who I know they still have the fire, but they've just gotten into this. You know, man, this general contractor got, you know, because I couldn't deliver as fast as they wanted, and I got short paid on this, and then this change order we had this dispute on, and you know, you get in that grind. I think even things like this podcast, like separate yourself from that stuff, right? An hour a day when you're on the road, right? Like 30 minutes, whatever it is, separate your stuff, get inspired again, right? Like tap into outside of your just general network, your normal suppliers, and make sure you still have that fire for your business.
I love that. Chris, thank you so much for being part of the Art of Construction and coming and telling us your story. We'll make sure to have information on the show notes, how to get in touch with you guys and go check it out. And hopefully we can all sleep a little better at night, work through build, and help each other out for cash is king and to keep hustling and get the next project and keep that fire, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Art of Construction Tribe, I'm sitting here raising my hand. I'd never heard of build. And this is one of the things that I say keeps me up at night. And it's such a cool to be in this seat, to have hundreds of thousands of people to hear this story on the Art of Construction, to hear this and have these tools to say, I'm so pumped to go out and learn more about build. And I hope you're the same, because it is a major problem that can take a lot of the fun out of the project. And hopefully you listen to this while you're driving. If you were down, maybe this pumped you up. Go to the show notes. Go check out Build, another great tool in your toolbox. As we always talk about, two things you don't have enough of: time and money, and cash is king. So these are the tools you gotta make sure you have in your toolbox. Go check out Build, and thanks for listening. Go out there and crush it. Cheers.